Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting.
Than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience.
With Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
Yeah. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on motherhood, wellness, self-love, and more. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I expect to, to be the starter and come in here and be ready to rock and roll every day. To get a lead, I think this team really looking for somebody to lead them in every way in terms of the process, in the offseason, during the season. Our habits and our thought process and how we create a great winning culture.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
10-10. If it holds, it'll be his 30th triple-double of the season.
Oh, what a play. What a play.
Now 39 for you. Rebounds. You know what? A win is going to be a win no matter what.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
9 seconds left. Lakers have a timeout as well. They go to James with five. They're not going to use it. On top to Doncic. Drives. Floater for the win. Off the rim. No. Tapped in at the horn. James. But was it on his hands? At the clock, we'll find out. James the tap in. Game winner.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
What is happening? Happy Thursday, everybody. Welcome in. Dirt and Sprague here on Portland Sports Leader. 1080 The Fan. 99.5 HD2. The Odyssey app, live on YouTube, as we are every single day. Happy opening day, everybody. We ready? Merry Christmas, Jason
yes.
Swigard.
So FS1 last night replayed the two Tokyo games back-to-back.
Did they? To get you started for today.
And I was in the mood.
Now, was this the first time?
You're about to get freaky at night?
No, I saw...
Did you watch the replays when they happened?
No, because the games were going on. They were finishing up when we got in.
Right,
those
right.
two mornings.
So I didn't know if you had gone back and watched the first six or seven innings.
No,
or not.
I hadn't. Yeah. And so there was too many other things kind of going on at the time.
There's a lot on the sports
calendar. Yesterday was great. I put that Laker game on the second screen.
Watching Dodgers versus Cubs
but
on the big
Dodgers,
screen.
Dodgers, Cubs, and yeah, Suzuki. Seeing what Roki had going on. Apparently, Roki needs to come up with a third pitch.
He needs a third pitch.
That's, if he can't
gripe
spot
number
the fastball,
one.
He's
a third
got
pitch.
The wipeout splitter.
Guy's a bomb, man.
But
get him out of
in
here.
In the major leagues, he's going to need a third pitch.
Ah, happy opening day, everybody. What a glorious day of sports it's going
to
be.
What the Giants got?
We are in Cincinnati today, I believe, at 1 o'clock first pitch.
There you go.
Against the Reds, the fighting Cincinnati Reds.
That's too bad. The Reds used to traditionally be the first team. And they would have the very first game on opening day. It's usually like 11 a.m.
early in the morning,
Pacific time. Like, yeah, they would start, but not the case today.
Let me see.
Brewers and Yankees have the honor at noon at the Boogie Down.
Yes, they do. That is the first game of the day. It has been a little bit dry this week. We only have one Blazer game throughout the course of the week. If you're not into general NBA basketball or NIT basketball or what, there's not been a lot going on. And then today you just launch into a Thursday where we got Sweet 16 games.
Yes, we do.
And it's opening day. Which is a glorious day.
And the Blazers are in Sacramento.
Starting a road trip. Let's go, baby. It's going to be
3.5 behind the Kings for ninth. So a victory here.
I mean, it's not going to happen. There are only 9 games to go in the regular season. They're not going to make them 3.5 games
tonight. Keep hope alive.
It is not going to transpire. So happy opening day, everybody. Hope you're wearing your baseball team's gear at your office, walking around town today. Our brief 2-day summer, second spring, if you will, is now officially over.
Yeah, and all of the weather people, National Weather Service included.
We got to call them out here. Look.
The hell was that?
Not an easy job. I'm not going to go easy job, weather bros and weather broettes. Not an easy gig.
Tornado warning, severe thunderstorms, quarter-size hail.
I didn't hear a single thing of thunder.
Not one clap.
Not a single thing of lightning. A little bit of wind, a little bit
liars.
Of rain. Nothing. There was nothing out there last night.
I know. I texted you. I get six. I'm like, I didn't even have a clap of thunder or anything over there by the mountains.
Supposed to start at 3 o'clock. There was nothing. I didn't hear anything out here today. It is funny because they did accomplish their main goal, which their main goal, when I always joke whenever there's a big weather event, that is a, it's like the Super Bowl for local news.
Oh, yeah.
Like when you tell us it's going to be a snowstorm, everybody's watching the local
news. Directors are grabbing the lotion.
They're loving it because you're going live. You're blowing out of the programming. You just have the ability to do it on snow days. It's like, yeah, we're not going anywhere. We're going to be live and local all day.
And they don't have to run down school closures anymore because you have the ticker and you have the apps and whatever.
Everybody's got a text message anyways.
You know, 5 minutes with roll call of every school district. It's like, it's right there for you. Here's the big districts in the metro area. Put up a panel. Now we're going back to whoever the poor sap is, the youngest one on the totem pole there that's stuck out at Troutdale with 50-mile-an-hour winds.
That's right. The guy or gal who's got to stand out there along 84 and say, it's really bad out here.
That truck stop out there at, what is that? Exit 16 on 84. Like
that. It is funny though because that is, you know, when you tell me that the weather's going to be that bad, I watch the local news a lot.
I did. I got my stuff done. I had to go down and take my dad to run an errand real quick, and it's like, all right, I was back by 12:30, hunkering down.
You turn on the local news, they tell you.
It's like I parked my car. It's like, all right, where's the biggest, bushiest tree to try to deflect the hail?
My favorite thing was around, I think it was the 5 o'clock news. I think I was watching Fox. I can't remember. I spread it around every one of the local networks yesterday, seeing what the different weather guys or gals were going to tell me was going to happen. And they were all pretty in lockstep. This is going to be a disastrous storm and, you know, buckle up, buttercup.
Yes. Head for shelter.
My favorite thing was the amount of people that sent in pictures because of their weather reports who had gone out and found different things to cover their cars with. And they were sending pictures in of, like, an old down comforter. You know, I'd strapped it down on the windshield. This should protect me. Or, you know, somebody had
some pizza boxes.
There were couch cushions on top. I'm just laughing, like, man, do I need to go cover my car? Is it going to be this bad? And then, like, an hour and a half later, it dawns on me, and you send a text message of, like, hey, there's been nothing. I got nothing out here. That was a ginormous swing and a miss. They thought this could be bad. And there's the balance of, like, if you think there's going to be bad, you want to make sure people are aware there's a chance things could get bad. Like, you got to give them the heads up.
I mean, it cooled off by 20 degrees in a short period of time, which was nice because it was getting a little muggy there.
Was it too hot for you yesterday? Is it too soon to complain about the heat?
No.
Because I went for a walk in the afternoon, and I got back, and I was like, man, I don't know if I'm ready for 80 degrees yet. You got to ease me into this,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, I know. You do need to
ease me. It's like not running and then going straight into running a half marathon. Exactly. I got to get some 2-3 mile runs in here first. Let me loosen up the muscles a little bit, you know?
But the air wasn't moving there early in the, like, noon, 1 o'clock. The air was just not moving, and so it was kind of that muggy, sticky thing.
It was
thing
a little
going
dense,
on.
A little dense. And then
I don't mind if it's
dropped.
Warm if you just got the slightest little breeze, the air is moving.
You give me a little bit, fantastic. Like a permanent fan that's kind of a calming and soothing effect on me. But that was not, it was weird though last night going from like 6 o'clock or 5 o'clock being nearly 80 degrees to like 8:30. I'm getting ready for bed. I check outside. I'm like, dude, it's like 59 outside
like
right
63
now.
63 and a breeze just blowing. So good.
Sunk like a stone last night. So congratulations everybody for surviving the tornado and hailstorm.
Exactly.
And devastating thunderstorms. We all made it. We all made it through. We are here. We are ready to go. It is opening day.
It's opening day. It's Sweet 16.
I'm going to play some fun.
We got PGA Tour action. We got Blazers action.
We do. There's a lot going on right now.
It's a sports bar day.
We have a lot to get to on the show today. So we'll talk about, I want to set all that up. I'm going to play some fun Sweet 16 college basketball trivia.
Oh, bring it.
With one Jason Swigard.
All right.
I mean, you're really the only one on the show that actually watches college basketball for the majority of the regular season. You follow it. You know the teams. There was a graphic that came out that I want to do a fun trivia game with because it's been a thing that's in the news with college basketball lately with the remaining teams in the Sweet 16. There's also a stat out there about John Calipari that I saw that I want to talk about because it blew my mind. And I'm wondering what it means for his legacy if it happens. So all that is still to come. We'll get to that later on in the show as we get closer to the Sweet 16 games tipping off. Also have a gripe. I have one gripe with the Sweet 16, and I'll explain that later on as well. Two guests today on the show.
Yes.
We're doubling up today.
We are doubling up today.
We dip the chip, and then we dip the chip again.
Mm-hmm.
Tony Gwynn Jr. is going to join us at 7:30. Very excited about that. Love Tony Gwynn Jr.
Yes.
He's one of our Odyssey baseball insiders.
He is.
Kind enough to come on a market that does not have Major League Baseball.
Not yet.
Hopefully soon we'll have Major League Baseball. Can you imagine the day in this city when we get our first opening day, if we ever get a Major League Baseball team, where the excitement level will be?
Yeah.
Now, we probably will be a team that doesn't start at home, although sometimes the schedule doesn't make a lot of sense, and you get Midwestern teams playing games at home. You never know what the weather's going to be in
you
April or March.
Know.
Like, it's a crapshoot everywhere you go around the country.
It just depends on...
I mean, for us, if yesterday was opening day, it would have been 80 degrees, and you're like, this is wonderful. And then today, it would have been, you know, 58 and a little bit of rain. So it just, it's that way across the country. But I will spend a few moments today watching every ballpark outside of what? Probably, you know, the Marlins. I don't know if they're at home, or the White Sox. We'll get to them on the show today.
Yeah, we got...
almost everybody will be sold out. And the hope springs eternal. Opening day is a fun day for
the Marlins,
everybody
are
around
home.
The league. They're at home?
Yuck.
That's not going to be a sellout. No way.
Well, Paul Skenes is pitching for the Pirates, so...
Do people in Miami care?
I don't know. Is Livy Dunn in the stands?
Well,
not a help.
She's on the latest cover of SI Swimsuit again. I think she's three-peating the cover champion.
Why not?
Of the swimsuit issue. I just
In Padres perpetuity. And Braves at one. That'll be sold out. That'll be a great scene in San Diego.
Oh, that'll be awesome. Padres are going to be good again this year. Good playoff team
Astros
last year.
Astros and Mets.
Okay. I mean, you know, that'll be a great
this
atmosphere.
This will be will the White Sox sell it out? They host the Angels.
They're at home. There's no chance that's a sellout. Those are the two. Now, we'll hold this for me tomorrow. Those
right.
are the two. I'm going to keep an eye on all the games. I got my MLB app, you know, ready to go. MLB TV ready to go today.
Yep.
Those are the two I'm going to keep an eye on. I think everybody else will be a sellout. Be a great atmosphere around the country. Miami and Chicago are the two that I don't think
so
will be sold out.
There's only two teams that aren't playing, the Rays and Rockies.
They're not playing today?
No. I'm sure that has to do with the Rays situation.
Does it? Wow, that's
because they're
weird.
Playing at the Yankees spring training facility.
They are, and they can't sell that out.
And so they might have. I mean, spring training just wrapped up. They're still minor league spring. It probably was something logistical.
I also
28 of the 30 teams scheduled to play. Hopefully, the weather is cooperating.
Holds up everywhere you go.
Because
yeah.
usually they do. They've tried to do this the last few years, which
There'll
is
be a
great.
Few, yeah.
But then eventually. It's snowing in Colorado or something.
Like, yeah, maybe we shouldn't open in Denver, Colorado. Maybe not a great idea.
Yeah, but the ones to watch, yes. Well, yeah, I'll be curious about the White Sox and Angels and the Marlins and Pirates.
Yeah, I don't think either of those would be sold out. But we will find out later on this afternoon. I can't wait. I also love that teams are playing today and then a lot of teams have tomorrow off. So, you know, that's interesting, but... Okay.
Some of them, yeah.
The Giants don't play tomorrow. They play today, and then they play Saturday and Sunday.
Well, usually they
make
do
that
it one
sense.
Just in case there's weather, and they have to postpone all the
get me all
opening
excited.
Day festivities.
Get me all ready to go. I'm all pumped up to watch baseball, and I don't get a game tomorrow. I digress. That's a weird scheduling snafu for me. You're going to play these teams usually
Dodgers
again.
Don't play on Sunday.
That's weird.
They're playing three with the Tigers.
And then Sunday's the off
Sunday's
day?
Sunday's their off day.
Yeah, what are we doing? What are we doing out
well,
here?
Well, they already are 2-0, so.
That is true. They are the only undefeated team in Major League Baseball. So Tony Gwynn Jr. is going to join us at 7:30. We'll
yes.
do a whole baseball preview with him. And then Andrew Nimick at 8:15. There's news, recruiting news. Oregon's losing some guys to USC. Where's the fear there? USC all of a sudden is on a heater on the recruiting trail. And the number one quarterback in the country, Jared Curtis, is deciding between Oregon and Georgia. So Dan Lanning against his old mentor, battling out for the number one quarterback in the country. Also, there's nobody at the Fan who follows the NFL draft closer than Andrew Nimick.
Awesome.
He is a draft nerd, and I say that in a very endearing and positive way.
Right.
Follows it very closely, so we'll get his thoughts on all the chatter out there about who's going in the top 10, how the picks, how they're looking. So we'll talk to Andrew Nimick at 8:15. That will be your daily ticker. We'll bump that back a little bit. A ton to get to on the show today. I want to start. Let's ease into it on a Thursday. Two bits of broadcasting news that I want to talk about.
Oh.
One guy, are we going to miss him at all? And maybe the biggest mic drop moment for a broadcaster that I've ever seen. To have this level of power is pretty remarkable. I want to start there. Happy Thursday, everybody. Thanks for being with us on 1080 The Fan.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.
When will this league learn? We'll get to that coming up bottom of the hour. There was a juicy NFL rumor yesterday. I want to talk about it at some point in the first hour of the show. It's not going to happen, but fun to think about nonetheless. So we'll get to that coming up at 6:45. I have made the executive decision to avoid the LeBron James Stephen A. Smith audio today. I've made an editorial call. It's everywhere. Everywhere you go, it's just...
No complaint from me.
He was on Pat McAfee for an hour yesterday. I watched a lot of it. You don't see LeBron in settings like that very often. When Stephen A. Smith starts saying, now, if he would have put his hands on me, I would have swung on him. I'm pulling the plug. That's it. I'm out. I'm not feeding that beast anymore. I'm not going to do it. Although one of the best things that came from that interview ended up being... Yeah, that would end well. Was Mad Dog Russo going on a rant that invoked the 1977 Portland Trailblazers. So your one caveat I will give you is that LeBron had a joke in the interview. I don't know if he was joking or serious, but I don't mind it because every former NBA player just dumps on the current players. Oh, you couldn't handle past generations. So LeBron flipped it on its head, and he gave the take that if Giannis played in the 70s, he would have scored 250 points in a game, which, of course, is ridiculous. Right. No, he would not, but it's funny nonetheless. And it had the effect that you thought it would with Mad Dog Russo, who started screaming on ESPN, and he invoked the 77 Blazers. Bill Walton, Bob Race, oh God, you're telling me! It just started yelling, Julius Erick! So that was the main highlight for me, because whenever Mad Dog gets going, I'm quite entertained, but I'm going to avoid it. That's all I'll do on it. Let's move on.
No.
Is this one of the biggest mic drops you've ever seen from a broadcaster?
Okay, what happened?
Jim Nance is a legend.
Yes.
He's called everything under the sun. He is...
Super Bowls.
Everything. Final Fours. Championships.
Masters.
Golf tournaments aplenty. Right? Yeah. He's done it all. One of the most legendary broadcasters that we have ever seen. He started to let some of his responsibilities go. No longer does the Final Four NCAA tournament, right?
He's sticking to pretty much NFL and golf.
That's what Jim Nance... He's in his sweet spot.
And he's starting to think about...
He's starting to get close. Now, we are in the era in professional sports where guys are getting retirement tours where this would be my last year. Let's go celebrate you for a year every city you go to and give you a present. Look at that. You're retiring. Congratulations. LeBron will have a big one of these whenever he's ready to retire. It is going to be nauseating for a year. Just like when we had to give a gift to Mariano Rivera in every city he went to. Like, what are we doing? I digress. Jim Nance yesterday, Masters is right around the corner.
It is
a coming.
This is the last week, so the top 50 in the world will qualify this week.
This is a big week for guys who are not on the cut.
And it's raining like hell in Houston. So
A lot of guys, Ricky Fowler, one of them, a lot of guys need a good performance this week to try and get into Augusta National. A lot of big names are not currently slated to go play in that tournament. So for the golf heads out there, you're paying attention to that. It's interesting. Masters are right around the corner. I got my food box coming. Nice. I'm very excited about this. It's going to arrive the day before the tournament tees off. Jim Nance, of course, will be calling the Masters, as he does every single year.
Yes.
He has not announced a one-year retirement plan. Jim Nance has announced an 11-year retirement plan. And when you're Jim Nance, you could do whatever the hell you want.
Pretty much.
It just is this exploring the space, throwing my elbows around.
There you go.
Jim Nance did an interview. I saw it on Front Office Sports. I'm not sure what the outlet was that he was sitting down with. But he said, quote, if all the stars aligned right now, feels like a pretty good exit point, April 14th, 2036. Now, you might be wondering, what's the significance of why is he hanging on for 11 more years? That's random. Jim Nantz, I believe, let me double check this, I think he's 65 years old.
So
yeah, 65, about to turn 66. So 65 going on 66. And you might be wondering, well, why 2036 is he going to retire? It's because it will be the 100th playing of the Masters. And he basically said that's a hell of a way of calling the 100th Masters, making it to that moment, and then hanging it up, and that's it. And I saw this yesterday, and I just chuckled of thinking, you imagine having that much power as a broadcaster that you get
call
to announce
walk-off shot
11 decade. Years in advance. Yeah. Not like, hey, this might be my last go-around. I think I'm going to hang it up. 11 years in advance, he's calling the shot that far out. Hat tip to Jim Nantz, because that's incredible to be able to do. 2036, right around the corner, Jim. We'll all make it there together. The other bit of broadcasting news that came out yesterday I did want to touch on, because this impacts my fandom.
Oh.
And, you know, look, there's a balance between people walking away and, you know, appreciating their career and what they brought to the sport, while also acknowledging, I'm really excited about this. And this was one of those yesterday.
Your time has come, or time has passed?
I would argue the time passed quite a bit ago, but Gary Danielson announced that this year will be his last year calling college football games on CBS. Are you a Gary Danielson guy?
I can take him or leave him. He doesn't affect. I don't.
Doesn't impact your enjoyment or not lack of enjoyment of a football game?
I generally think he's prepared when he goes in there. I don't know. I'm not quoting him.
Sure.
But it doesn't detract from. I don't look at a game. It's like, oh, I got to deal with this guy.
I got to deal with Gary Danielson.
So yeah,
he's not that. He's not quite to that level for me. But he's not somebody that I enjoy when he calls an Oregon football game. And this was the first year I had to go through that, because now on it was always the SEC game, and so it's whatever. Your fandom's not impacted by it.
Yep.
He's calling LSU versus Florida. It's on in the background. Whatever. That's fine. But when he's calling your team's games, I had a little bit of a different relationship with Gary Danielson this
Now,
year.
Has there been any, was there any then rumored or any follow-up on who might be sliding in?
Charles Davis will succeed him.
I don't know that that gets me any more excited.
I don't know if it does either. It'll be Brad. I love me some Brad Nessler. Brad Nessler's awesome.
Yeah, he's great.
He's always been great. Him going to CBS, he was the next in line. And so he's going to be their main
Charles
guy.
Davis, but that... You know,
that's the next in line. They're moving Charles Davis up, who's been calling NFL games forever.
Yeah.
I think he still does, if I'm not mistaken.
Perfect, total pro. I'm not gonna flip a channel because he's on there. But
no, not knocking your socks off.
No,
not one of those kind of guys. So a bit of broadcasting news yesterday. Very excited about this. Have you seen the controversy surrounding the Masters commercial that's been airing recently?
Which one? The Georgia one?
So they have a new commercial on ESPN teasing the start of the Masters.
Yeah,
and
they've
just
had a couple.
Yeah, it's just highlights where they're playing Georgia on My Mind, a version of the song.
Yeah.
And it has always been, whenever they play the commercials leading up to the Masters, it's always been, you know, Ray Charles.
Right.
It's a pretty iconic song.
Yeah, it looks like somebody new.
I think Noah
cover.
Kahan is the name of the song.
Sure.
I don't know, or the name of the artist. I don't know
I
Noah
don't know.
Kahan.
Yeah.
Not a listener of Noah Kahan.
Is this a controversy?
It is a little bit of a controversy. People saying, why would you replace Ray Charles with somebody new when Ray Charles' version is so iconic?
That sounds like somebody that's looking for something to be upset about.
It does a little bit. Also, as a fan of Alan Stone, who has a wonderful cover of Georgia on My Mind, that was my other thought. There's a better version out there that you could have chosen from. But, you know, Ray Charles is legendary. Don't step on his toes, all right? So there's your broadcasting news lately.
There we go.
Wanted to get to Jim Nantz retiring 11 years in advance. Gary Danielson walking away from CBS.
All right.
And Masters commercials. Controversy. Hot stuff right out of the gate today. Let's get to, will this league ever learn? There's something in the news lately that people are again pushing back on that I chuckle at. We've seen other leagues have to go through this. You got to ride the wave, and I don't know if this league will ever learn. We'll see. We'll talk about that coming up next.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer.
SummerSlam.
I know. I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey, what's up, flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
It's a big day in sports. We'll dive into the Sweet 16 coming up top of the hour as the NCAA tournament continues today. It is also opening day in Major League Baseball. Merry Christmas to the baseball fans out there. We'll talk to Tony Gwynn Jr. at 7:30. Get you set for all the action across the United States of America. Very excited. Big sports day. This league was in the news again yesterday, and I wonder, not that there's that much pushback, but when I see it, I do kind of roll my eyes at it, because I feel like other leagues have gone through this, and when you get somebody that can captivate an audience, you have to do whatever you can to capitalize. So the NBA season is winding down right now. Playoffs are right around the corner. We got about 9 games to go in the regular season for most teams, so a couple weeks away from the end of the regular season. Playoffs will begin at the end of the NBA season. What begins? The WNBA. It's right around the corner. And as they get ready to launch into their new season, they have announced their television schedule for the upcoming year. Similar how the NBA does it, and we react. I remember doing it when the schedule for this past year came out, and we all realized that Portland has one nationally televised game all season, and it was the Milwaukee at Portland game, and that was it. That's all they got. A few NBA TVs when they, you know, slide you into that, but in terms of ESPN, ABC, TNT nationally televised games, you got one. And to be fair, we didn't really deserve that many. We've been bad for a couple of years now. But I always enjoy when that schedule comes out, because you look, okay, here are the teams that are on the most, and how shocking. It's the biggest brands, the Celtics, it'll be the Lakers, yada, yada, yada. Well, the WNBA came out with their national TV schedule yesterday, and then I'm flipping around sports channels, and I'm not really making much of it, because I think, yeah, that's what I would do too if I ran the league. And then I see people on television pushing back against the idea of doing this for an individual player. And so I'm sure you can guess it, that individual player is Caitlin Clark.
Yep.
So when you break down, then I don't know, how many regular season games does the WNBA play?
I
want to
say 40.
40 regular season games?
I believe so.
Okay. Well, I think it has to be more than that, because the Indiana Fever are nationally televised 41 times, according to their press release. So I don't know how many more games it is than 40.
Maybe it's up to 50 now.
Did they slide it up just a hair?
Maybe. I mean, they've been expanding, so maybe...
That's a pretty remarkable number, though, percentage of games being on national TV.
Yeah.
And I'm flipping around yesterday, and I'm seeing people push back against the notion of having... You know, the Liberty won the WNBA championship last year. For example, they are on 32 nationally televised games this year. The Aces, who have been one of the best franchises in that league, are on 33 nationally televised games. And people yelling about the idea, why would you not have your champion on more than a team who did not make the playoffs last year, I don't believe at least, in the Indiana Fever?
I thought they snuck in.
Did they sneak in as an 8 seed or something?
Came in. Yeah.
So anyway, but didn't win a championship, right? And so that was this pushback. And I chuckle at this, and I wonder if the league will ever learn that when you get a star that you can market and capitalize on like this, you do whatever you can to promote them, to put them on television, to generate revenue and ratings for your league. Because there is one thing that is true in professional sports, and that is a rising tide will lift all boats. And so the more eyeballs you get on Caitlin Clark Indiana Fever games, the more money the rest of the league's going to be able to bring home in their next television contract when this stuff eventually gets discussed and negotiated down the road. And the one example that I thought of, and I'd be curious to get your thoughts on this, because this was more in your heyday than it was in mine, but when the Blazers won their championship in 1977, the finals was tape delayed. The NBA finals used to be tape delayed.
Oh, yeah.
And you'd watch it at midnight.
It was on after your late local news at 11:30.
Throw it on in the middle of the night. People will watch. Like, that was the way the NBA was handled back in the day. Obviously, Magic and Bird had a lot to do with changing that in the 1980s.
Also, we didn't have cable.
No, so it wasn't, not a lot of options out there.
You basically had, CBS had a game of the week on Sunday.
Yeah.
And it was usually either the Celtics or the
Lakers. Celtics or the Lakers every weekend, I would imagine.
Yeah.
And then the television market started to explode in the early 90s. Things evolved.
Yes.
And who was on television every time it was possible to put him on national
television? Michael Jordan.
Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
And it's funny to me to think, and maybe back then people did this same complaint of like, this guy hasn't won squat. Why are we putting him on national TV every game? Why isn't it this franchise? Why isn't it the Lakers?
Well, when he came up, though, like in the 80s, you still had, it wasn't until the 90s when Bird and Magic were, you know, but
almost
you still
done.
Have Bird and Magic. So it
they continue to win titles. Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't as much Jordan all the time. I mean, it was the Bulls and the Lakers and the Celtics.
Probably the Pistons
and
at that
the
era.
Pistons.
Yeah, Detroit.
There were four or five teams, and yes, it was one of a small group that was going to be on constantly.
Sure, but I think
but
the argument
wasn't all Jordan all the time.
Sure, the argument would be the similarity is the Celtics were winning championships, the Lakers were winning championships, or going almost every year. Yeah. The Pistons won back-to-back titles.
Yep.
So all of them had something in common, and Chicago had not won one at the time. So that to me is where the comparison is fair of here was a guy who was a generational star, a captivating figure that is going to get eyeballs for your league, and the league put him on constantly because he wasn't winning championships at that point. He didn't break through and win his first one until, what, his seventh or eighth year in the league? Like, it took him a while to win a title. And, in fact, the debate about him back then was, will he ever win one? And can you win one with a guard? And he's not a center and all that. I chuckle at this stuff, man. Like, if I were running the WNBA, I'm not kidding you. Every single Caitlin Clark game possible would be, I would put every single one of her games on national TV.
Slow down with being on national TV.
Sure.
Because some of the ones on the ION network,
they're counting that as nationally televised.
And
game.
That sort of thing.
Yeah.
So
she has 10 appearances on ABC or ESPN
this
year.
There you go.
10, and then eight of them are on ION. I don't know what the rest of them are considered to be nationally televised. That's what the league is saying in their press release.
See. So they played 40 games last year.
Okay.
So there's probably a preseason game or something like that.
I would imagine all of her preseason games are.
Well, and that's the because the Liberty are coming to Eugene.
They are
to play a team from Japan, I think, in a preseason game.
Yes.
So,
because that makes sense. But you know, the NBA does that.
Sabrina,
I know. I know the Liberty playing in Eugene makes sense.
I don't know why the Liberty aren't on more than
get the rest
Fever.
Of the who's left on the women's duck team. Just have them come out and play that game, anyways.
Yeah,
probably more competitive. But I digress.
Probably not.
Look, I'm not saying they're going to win, but.
So, yeah. No, I mean, they just need to get as many games on national TV as possible. But between, I would think between the Liberty, the Aces, and the Fever, and
I mean, those are the three teams that are on national television all year.
Yeah,
and rightfully so.
I can't remember. Well, this year was funny because in the offseason, everybody, all these big name free agents, moved around.
Yeah.
Coaches were moving around too. The biggest thing is they got to get a new collective bargaining agreement.
They
so
do.
All of this stuff is in the plans. But
yes, and you know what's going to help your next CBA when you're negotiating higher salaries? Ratings. And you know who brings ratings more than anybody else?
Yep,
Caitlin Clark. I just rolled my eyes and chuckled at
but
it
also,
yesterday. This
I mean,
idea that why would we put her on national TV this often when the Liberty won the title? It's because she brings eyeballs to your league.
Yeah.
This isn't a complicated thing. This is simple economics, and it's like. If you want to grow as a league, you have to have a generational star. Whether you think she's deserving of it or not, she certainly is.
Yeah.
And she certainly brings in numbers that nobody else in that league can touch. They're playing a preseason game, and tickets sold out within literally minutes.
Yeah.
Literally minutes for an entire, by the way, an NBA arena, not like a 5,000, 10,000 seat, an entire NBA arena for a preseason game of hers sold out in minutes. There is a fever around her, no pun intended, and you got to do whatever you can. If I ran the WNBA, I would have called ESPN and had every single one of her games be on one of their networks. Every single one throughout the course of the regular season, because she's going to bring in millions of viewers to every single game, and it's going to make your next CBA look better. It's going to make more money for all the other players.
Yeah.
It's just rising tides lift all boats in sports, and when you get stars like this, it's been one of the biggest frustrations, I think, in Major League Baseball over the years, when they have some of these guys that are truly generational talents. Now, basketball and baseball are different because you're not touching the ball on every play. You're getting four at-bats a game. Shohei's the one outlier here because he pitches as well. But you're getting four at-bats a game, maybe making a play or two in the field. I'm not going to be able to watch you the entire game the way that I can with an NBA star. She has clearly transcended the viewership numbers for that league. She has clearly upped the profile for that league. And having an issue with the Indiana Fever having the most televised games next year is a pretty laughable and ridiculous take. It's okay to say the Liberty deserve it and the Aces deserve it as well. But Caitlin Clark's going to bring you some more money. And if you want to grow as a league, that's what you need. It's been one of the biggest things I think the MLS has been missing. Like, who's been the biggest star in the MLS?
Messi,
yeah. I mean, you're going old, you know, South American or European players usually are the biggest names. And he's still a hell of a player.
Right.
But he's not in the prime of his career.
No.
Who's the biggest non-transfer player from Europe or, you know, who was already a name?
I don't know who the biggest.
That the league has developed.
It's the biggest problem with the league right now is your top American player. Like,
they go overseas and go play.
Playing in Germany.
He's not playing here.
Yeah.
And imagine the MLS having a guy like that where you get like a Ronaldo and it'll never happen because those guys can make more money elsewhere.
Yep.
But if you did, what would the MLS want to do?
Exactly.
Put this guy on TV. Every opportunity we get because it'll make money for the league.
No, their biggest stars, a lot of them are from Central and South America. Then you get the European players who want to come over here. At the end of their careers because they can come over here and for the most part, now maybe not Messi, but they can come over here and they can blend into, they can walk down to a grocery store, you know, sometimes and.
Right. Everybody's saying it's Messi. It can.
Yeah.
And you just don't really know what they look like. We don't follow it as closely over here.
Who, if you ran into Ibrahimovic somewhere, I mean, he's 6'4", so he stood out, but
I don't know if
you
wouldn't
know who he was.
If you show, like, I know, I've seen pictures of him. I've watched video, like, I know what he looks like, but if I saw him in public, so there wouldn't be the immediate.
If they've made tons of money and won whatever they wanted to win over in Europe or whatever, they can come over here, milk the MLS for a few more million for a couple of seasons.
Right.
But just enjoy the life.
Yeah.
But they aren't going to be hounded by paparazzi depending on where they go. Now, Messi in Miami is a little different, but. Plus, he's 5'5", so.
Very tiny guy. Very tiny guy. Shout out to the Short Kings out there. Good for the league for putting the Indiana Fever on. I would have every single one of her games nationally televised next year. Every single one. I'd put them all on
ABC. You're looking like they're still prime, ION, the CBS Sports Network.
Yeah, CBS Sports Network.
ESPN3.
Yeah. Wait, there's an ESPN3? Is that the app? Is that what that's considered?
It's an online. It's online.
So can I watch that on the ESPN Plus, or is that not?
Plus, yeah.
Okay.
On the app. Yeah, you can get it there. NBA TV has some of their games.
Yeah, every chance I would get, put her on national. It's going to sell. It's going to draw. People are going to watch. Whatever it is about her, man, it is captivating. The league desperately needs it. Don't run away from it. And so good for the league for doing it. And I chuckle at the people pushing back against it. Every league has gone through this. You got to have stars that you can market, and it makes the rest of your sport more interesting, more relevant.
Focus on creating more stars. Like, Cameron Brink needs to be healthy. Cameron Brink can be that level of star.
And this is where, like, when you watch, for the people who just are interested in Caitlin Clark, which there is a lot of them out there, when you have her on national television against other household name players, that's how you learn. That's how you, like, oh, look at that. She's really good, too.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, maybe you're interested in watching one of their games because she had a great game or a great performance. Like, that's how the league evolves. That's how it grows. Why would you want to put restrictor plates on what you can accomplish as a league when you got a golden goose right now? And when you got a golden goose, you get as many of those golden eggs as you possibly can.
The PGA Tour did this with Tiger.
Yes, they exactly
and
did.
And then it was constantly, like, okay, when Tiger's 6 shots out of a tournament,
they're showing every shot.
I'm watching every shot
because that's what people want to see.
Yes.
And I know that was a valid complaint for golf fans, especially as he was injured and out of contention in a lot of tournaments, but I think Tiger is a great example of this. So Caitlin Clark's going to be on TV a whole bunch. Speaking of basketball, we will talk Sweet 16 coming up top of the hour. I have a beef with something. We're going to play some fun Sweet 16 trivia with Jason Swigard. So that's coming up at the top of the hour. A juicy NFL rumor yesterday that I quite enjoyed. Not going to happen just because the math simply does not work, but the idea it was floated out was pretty entertaining. We'll get to that next on The Fam. We don't put our hands over our mouths. Thought of The Fam text line, 503-864-6300. 326. They should lean into the Angel Reese Caitlin Clark beef. Yes, they should, man. Wrestle the WWF the hell out of this thing. Magic versus Bird was huge for the league. It was massive for the NBA to pull them out of the doldrums of tape delayed NBA finals. Rivalries can be good. Lean into it. Amen to that. We'll get to the NCAA tournament coming up at the top of the hour. Sweet 16 tips off today. I got one little beef with it. We'll have some fun trivia, get to some of the matchups. An interesting stat about John Calipari. that I didn't quite realize until I saw it, and I want to get your thoughts on it. So we got a nice little slate of four games in the Sweet 16, and we will dive into those coming up top of the hour. It's also Major League Baseball opening day. We got our Giants and Dodgers gear on, our NL West rivalry. All we need is a Padre, a Diamondback, and a Rocky fan in here with us, and we'll comprise the entire NL West. Although I don't know any Diamondbacks fans.
Oh, they're around. Obviously, the hops feed into there, the Diamondbacks.
I know. So. I know they exist. I just personally don't know anybody. Actually, that's not true. I got a buddy who knows a guy on the staff of the Diamondbacks, so that's not true. I do know one. One of my good buddies from college was a diehard Rockies fan from Denver, which, you know, God bless him. That's a tough fandom to have. And I got a cousin who's a passionate Padre fan, so we should call him up, get him all in studio today, get the NL West going on. So we'll talk tournament coming up here in a few minutes. There was a nice, juicy NFL rumor yesterday that impacted your former fandom. Well, it didn't, because it's not going to happen. Financially, it makes no sense. Nobody could do it. But fun to think about nonetheless, and especially considering what the trade would have potentially been. There was a host in Cleveland yesterday who, like, it should be noted, I don't know much about Cleveland radio. I don't know much about their personalities. Ken Carmen's the only one I know because I think he had to eat dog poop at one point. There was a guy who had a takeaway or went on a show, and he said he is hearing from legitimate sources inside the Browns organization. And this guy is not a hot take guy. He's not one of these guys that's known for just spewing nonsense. Like, he's respected in the Cleveland sports community as, like, legitimate reporter, inside information, that kind of stuff. And this guy goes on his show yesterday, and he discusses the fact that he is hearing from multiple people. Bruce Drennan, I believe, is his name.
Okay.
He does the Bruce Drennan show.
Sure.
And he is hearing from multiple people inside the Browns organization that were negotiating a trade for Dak Prescott. Just juicy. Salacious. I love it. Now, financially, it doesn't make any sense.
I don't know how they do that.
The Cowboys just restructured Dak Prescott's contract to give him a bunch of cash up front. The dead cap number they would have to take on trading him is ridiculous. Cleveland already has Deshaun Watson's contract on the books.
And they're not moving
it. I don't know how that makes any... Because unless, mathematically speaking, it makes no sense.
The only way it makes sense is that they are behind the scenes trying to void it for all of his shenanigans.
Maybe they are. Maybe that's the...
I don't know how that affects the salary cap if you can void a contract.
And also, are the Cowboys willing to eat that much dead money to trade away Dak Prescott? But the second part of this was, well, his whole...
Jarrah loves Dak.
He does love Dak. But where are the Cleveland Browns drafting, Jason Swigard?
Number two, I believe.
They are drafting number two. What quarterback will likely be available at number two in the NFL draft?
Shadur.
That was the part of it.
Wow.
Can you imagine that if it actually went down? First off, Dak getting shipped out, the Cowboy quarterback getting traded away to the Browns.
I don't know what Cowboy fan would do at
that point. I don't know how they would feel.
I don't know.
His whole angle was, you know, Myles Garrett signed his extension, and everybody said, yeah, money. But one of the things that Myles Garrett said when he signed was, I want to win, and they have a concrete plan at quarterback. And everybody's like, sure about that? Sure about that? I don't know. And then this rumor comes out, and it's, hey, this is what they're trying to do. They're trying to go get Dak Prescott. Now, everybody in Dallas is throwing a little bit of cold water on this. Just financially, it doesn't make any sense. I don't, dead money involved, the Deshaun Watson contract, if you can't get out of it. But, man, this is such a fun rumor. And the Cowboys potentially trading away their franchise quarterback, getting the number two pick in return and drafting Shedeur Sanders it would be an incredible offseason in Dallas. And I really want it to happen. I don't think it's going to happen, but I would really, really want it to happen. But that was a nice juicy rumor in the NFL yesterday from Bruce Drennan in Cleveland. Says the Browns are negotiating as we speak.
There you go.
With the Dallas Cowboys for a trade with Dak Prescott. A bunch of national voices have thrown cold water on it as well. Dare to dream, baby. Dare to dream. It would be an entertaining offseason in Dallas. We got a lot to get to in the second hour of the show. Tony Gwynn Jr. is going to join us coming up at 7:30. We'll talk to him about opening day across Major League Baseball. Best storylines. We've got to make our picks for the upcoming season. Give you all our thoughts for opening day around Major League Baseball. That's coming up. Let's start, though, with the Sweet 16. It tips off this afternoon. We got four games in the NCAA tournament as it continues. We'll have some fun trivia questions. One stat about Calipari that I found interesting. Sweet 16 is where we start the second hour next on 1080 The Fan.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
What if everything you learn in history class was only half the story? I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets mysterious. Vanished civilizations, doomsday prophecies, paranormal phenomena, and events that science still can't fully explain. On Hidden History, I treat these moments like open case files. Not myths, not superstition, just incomplete explanations waiting for a closer look. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.